I'd like to greet each one this morning in the name of Jesus. It's been so good to be together already. Appreciate the devotions this morning and the songs. The one song we sang asked the question of how we can give back to God enough for what he's done for us. God truly has been very gracious to us. The title of the message this morning is "And then we would have a resort." Some of you know where the title comes from. A few of you do. And for the rest of you, I'll try to explain it as best I can. I'd like to read a few scriptures in Matthew 5 to begin with. Turn your Bibles, Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. Matthew 5, verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now I'd like to go to Matthew 24 and read verses 45 to 51. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them their meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then we would have a resort. The title comes from conversation that we had during the time we were in Ukraine with a group of volunteers. And so those are the ones that understand the title. And the message this morning is not intended to be critical of those conversations and of that phrase necessarily. But the phrase stuck to me and I pondered it a lot since. And let me explain a bit, try to explain where the title comes from. We were in a village where there was a lot of destruction, a lot of damaged houses, and we had this God-given instinct that when we see problems, we try to think of ways that we could make it better. And some of the interesting conversation that we had was some of the volunteers thought we should build a development here and make nice houses. Just do away with all these houses that we're fixing up, build new houses, and we could rent them out to the people. They could have nice houses. And then the thought was also added, then we would also have a resort. And it sounds like a pretty good idea, doesn't it? It's often what we as Americans do when we see a situation that is on what we think is a lesser economic level than our own. We think that it's a problem because it's not up to our standard of living. A resort is a place designed to provide recreation, entertainment, and accommodation, especially to vacationers, a community or establishment whose purpose or main industry is catering to vacationers. One of the questions in the message this morning is this a church or is this a resort? A resort is a beautiful place where people can come to enjoy the beauty, relax, feel good. There's not supposed to be any messy situations in a resort. And so the The question, is this a church or is this a resort? If this is an evangelical church where we reach out to the lost, we will not always have everything just right. There will be messy situations. If I would be doing my part in bringing my neighbors to church, we would have to figure some things out. We would have to figure out what to do with divorce and remarriage and what to do with a relationship like that. So it's easier just to let them go and not create a messy situation in church. And we can come together and everybody and everything appears to be pretty nice, and we have a resort. Now, I might be stretching things a bit this morning, so the message is not intended to be critical. The message is intended to make us think. But even this community is known for its beauty, and people like to come here. I had a man a couple years ago over COVID told me that he just likes to come here and drive the country roads and see the horses out in the field, and it makes him feel better. If that's all that happens to the people that come here, and that's all they see, and that's all they take home, then we are not accomplishing what we're here for, and maybe we are just a resort and not a church. I'd like to talk about our view of what the world needs and what the world needs, and then last of all, we'd like to look a bit at the purpose of the church. And I'm not being critical of anyone to think about ways that they can improve situations, whether it's here or whether it's in other countries. That's a God-given, a natural instinct, like I said, that we have. By the way, when we lived in Ukraine, I thought about what if I would start a division of Byler's paving service there, and we could make nice roads and improve the situation so that the trucks coming to the little places of business could move faster. They wouldn't have to spend so much time on the road. They could get their loads there safer, I mean, without damage and quicker, and everything would be better. And thought about how much better it would be to have nice roads and come back and see the difference that makes in the economy in 5 or 10 years. But is that really what the need is? And in visiting with a man in the village where we're working in Ukraine, of course, his house was not really big, but he said, I have a cow, I have a pig, I have some chickens, I have a garden, and he was happy. And yet we as Americans think that they need a nice house and a nice conveniences, and because they don't have all the conveniences we do, they're to be pitied. And so the best thing we can do is to throw money at a situation and change things. And sometimes we end up making more problems than what we fix by doing that. So what does the world need? If they don't need better roads, if they don't need better education, if they don't need... Sometimes we even think that better rulers would fix a situation. Better laws. Better legislation will not bring righteousness. Righteousness only comes as people are born again and they shine as lights to the people around them. And they change lives. They work at lives one at a time. It's not accomplished by changing all the other things that we'd like to sometimes. Let's remember that those that are on a lesser economical level are not always suffering as much as we think they might be. They're probably not suffering from discontentment as much as we are. There's something about things and wealth that makes us discontented and makes us miserable, even when we have a lot. So that's not what the world needs. What does the world need? The most basic answer that I can give you is that the world needs Jesus. But that answer is not complete in itself, because the world will only understand Jesus through the lives of his followers. And so there is a big need for followers of Jesus to be in all parts of the world, helping people to understand Jesus. Oh, we can say, well, we'll send Bibles, we'll send literature. That'll help people understand what it means to be saved. That'll help them understand how to live the Christian life. Well, that's true. That does in a lot of ways. Last spring, by some unusual means, I ended up with some bees, and I knew nothing about bees. Somebody gave me a book about bees, and I was supposed to know how to take care of them. And it told me a lot of things, and I had some things to, some equipment and, you know, bee suit and whatever else that you need. And yet, I really didn't know much about bees till one day Brandon came, Dave and Rose's Brandon came to help me look at my bees and try to figure out where the queen is and a lot of different things like that. And it was very clear to me through that experience that, yes, we can give people Bibles, we can give them literature and expect them to be Christians. And it's going to happen sometimes, but there is nothing like when someone walks with you through a situation and helps you, when you have a living example of what the book is talking about, that's going to help you understand Jesus better than anything else. You can send a link for some radio preacher or some other means of having access to sermons and all kinds of good teaching, but that's never going to be the light and to have the effect of a person living it out, a person that you can be with, a person that you can converse with. That's the most powerful tool in evangelizing, and it's what the world needs the most. The world needs Jesus. The world needs people that are living expressions of what Jesus taught us in the Bible, how to live, how to walk, how to respond to life, how to make choices. And then they will understand. I believe that's the biggest need that the world has. And that need is across the face of the globe. That need is right here in this community that should be full of light and soul. With all the churches in this community, if there's people that do not understand the gospel, do not understand the Christian life, if there's people like that in our communities yet, then we better decide if we want to be a resort or a church. I'd like to look at some of the purposes of the church. Why is it so important that there's churches in places in the world? What Jesus said to his disciples, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have loved one to another." There's a powerful witness and testimony that goes out and is understood and clearly understood by people looking on when a church, when disciples, when a group of disciples have loved one for each other. You're not going to be able to do that alone. And so you need a church to do that in. And that's the way that people know that we are his disciples. It's the way that people understand Jesus and what the Bible talks about. And I can't fully explain that. You don't have to tell the world about the love that is going on in the church or the lack of it. Somehow they can see that without it being written on the walls of the church. The world around us knows whether we love each other as disciples of Jesus or whether there's a lack of that love. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another." The New Testament gives at least three illustrations of the church. They all start with B. It's the body, the bride, and the building. And these three illustrations help us to understand the purpose of the church. A body speaks about a close connection and a functioning together. And we experienced that in the past week. A functioning together, when people work together, each one doing their part, that's what is to take place within the body of Christ. And as members of each other, as members of a body, it's important that there's no schism. 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. You've heard already of autoimmune diseases. I think that's what you call them, when the body, somehow something gets messed up and the body actually attacks its own immune system. That's very bad for a body when that happens. Wrong things start to happen in a body when there's a disease like that. Again, that verse says that the members should have the same care for each other. When everything is working correctly in my body, my members care for each other. When one gets hurt, the whole body does what it can to alleviate or to lessen that pain. And when there's pain in one part of the body, the whole body, in a sense, suffers with that and tries to adjust to that to make the pain less. How are we in the body of Christ as a church when someone is hurting? Do we hurt with them? Or do we kind of think that they have it coming, kind of get what they deserve? They made bad choices. In the church, in the body, when one hurts, we all hurt. And when one rejoices, we also rejoice. If we do not hurt with the hurting, if we do not rejoice with the rejoicing, there's something wrong going on in our life. This is how it is in the body, in the local body, but it also extends to further than just ourselves as a church. We're sensitive to the needs around us. The purpose of the church, the bride, illustrates relationship. It illustrates seeking to please and seeking to nurture and strengthen the bond. A bride and groom relationship. They do everything they can to make life good for each other and to please each other. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I ask of you, whatsoever I command you." And so, as a church, we seek to please Jesus Christ, our groom. We seek to strengthen that bond with him. Anything that brings tension to that bond with Christ is not acceptable for us. We only pursue that which strengthens our bond with Christ. We only pursue that which pleases him. Doesn't matter what pleases me, it's what pleases him. That's what I pursue. That's what I latch on to. Leading up to the time of marriage, a bride loves the groom. A bride prepares for the groom and waits for the groom. It's maybe a little different. I mean, the Bible illustrates that very clearly, the way that the bride waits for the groom. And that's the stage that we're in now. We are preparing. We are waiting. We are seeking to be prepared so that when he comes, that we can meet him with joy and be prepared for that return of the groom. Get my words mixed up. That's what the bride relationship illustrates. The third illustration of building. A building gives us the picture of a dwelling place, a place of abode, and that's what the church is for Jesus Christ in this world. In Revelation, the letters to the churches, Jesus, he was in the midst of the candlesticks. The candlesticks depicting the churches. He walks about the candlesticks, it says. And so Jesus Christ dwells in the church. Ephesians 2 talks about you are built up in him. You're a building. That's what we as a church are. We are a place where Christ dwells. And that's why it takes a church to illustrate to the world, to the community, a better understanding of Jesus and their big need of Jesus. That's what our mission, that's what our work as a church is. To be a dwelling place for Christ so that Christ can be shown to the world. And it's a big, big challenge, a big thought to think about that opportunity, that responsibility that we have to be that to the world. And then we would have a resort, or maybe we'd rather have a church. And then we would have a church. I'm pretty sure all of us would rather have a church if that's what we're trying to do, but let's be honest and make sure that we're being a church, that we're being what the Lord Jesus wants us to be, that as a body that we're functioning together, that as a bride that we're seeking to please only him. Doesn't matter what the rest of the world or what everyone else thinks. Our focus is on the groom and seeking to please him. And as a building, we're a place where he abides. I'd like to read Psalm 84 yet in closing. How admirable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in the house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. But the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And then we would have a church. Let's kneel for prayer.